Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, April the 7th, 98th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, a little bit more extended venue than typically we hear from him, is the, well, Fortuna guy, John Sapper. I mean, it doesn't matter you had an apple on your card for this purpose.
Well, that's a dangerous intro, but thank you.
Okay. We're not going to be talking edumacation today because that's what Gary talks about next week and Fred later on in the month. We're going to talk about Fortuna a little bit and kind of do the historical. I can remember for a couple years when Merle Herpham was interim two or three time police chief, or when Merle would come out, and Fred Nelson on comment when he talks about the early days of Eureka, those are the things that a lot of people get excited about. And it's not that John is that elderly-ish.
Thank you very much.
But we'll talk about some of the early days and some of the things that were going on in Fortuna that perhaps you were unaware of. Trip down memory lane.
Sounds fun.
As contrasted to tripping down memory lane. Either way, we'll do it when we come back.
The best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with John Sapper and his memory. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Storman Norman Schwarzkopf. Leadership is a combination of strategy and character. If you must be without one, be without strategy.
Great line.
Isn't that cool, huh?
Great line.
What is your first memory of Fortuna?
Oh, gosh, first memory of Fortuna. Well, I was born and raised there in the 60 years ago.
Okay, so
and
I figure you probably missed the first flood.
I clearly remember the 64 flood. We lived on a hill. I can still play that videotape in the mind where you see the homes floating by. You know, the real impact didn't hit me until years later because I was somewhat young. But, yeah, one of the things I remember is Main Street, that was Highway 101. You know, so that's a, you know, that changes the perspective of a community when all of a sudden you go from the main thoroughfare being Main Street with traditional Americana, if you will, to now you're a stop along the road. And so I remember all those traditional businesses there, the, you know, the Bistrons and Daly's department stores. Many of our listeners may not really even resonate with that. But
okay, let me check in on Justin. Yeah. Bistrons and Daly's? You remember Daly's, not Bistrons. You're 30-ish?
33.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, it's the same age Damien is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned the show turned 33 last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeesh. the change when you have a highway move out. Oh, now we did see that with Hopland and Cloverdale.
Absolutely.
When 101 came out a little bit more recently. Yeah, there are pluses and minuses.
Yeah, no question about it. But I think, you know, growing up there, it really was traditional Americana. One of the dates that I remember fondly really was a Flag Day. There were maybe 100, 150 flags all along Main Street, out in front of businesses, that they really honored that day. And, you know, there were even small parades and things, but it, with many of the same activities and events, the rodeo and things that are going on now, but it really was then a community with a lot of fun activities and events during the year, and still is in that respect.
So 60 years ago, how long did it take to get to Eureka? I'm not being facetious with that because I remember Harvey Harper saying, last couple of years we got to spend a lot of time with his neighbor, that going to Ferndale was a full day drive when he was a little guy. It was a full day to get there and a full day to come back home, and then you spent, you know, you stayed in Ferndale.
Yeah. Well, as I tell my friends over there, it still may be a full day drive for some people.
depending on your GPS.
Depending on your GPS. Actually, I remember a story of my grandmother who was born in Fortuna in 1896. And she remembered the first car that came to town. Her first job, actually, was at the Star Hotel.
Really?
That building that tragically, unfortunately, burned down a month or so ago. That was her first job. And she shared stories with me that she says, man, she says, I can't believe that you can actually go to Eureka and back in a day. It was a two-day event. They hitched up the horses and the wagon. And
that's a pretty good haul if you're on a horse.
Came into Eureka and did their business and then came back the following day. And
tough to have any reference to something like that. I mean, now we go down to the city and it takes, what, 5.5, 6 hours?
Absolutely.
You don't even think about it hardly.
Absolutely. But, you know, folks today obviously are much more mobile than they were then. And I think often of my grandmother, and yes, she was born in Fortuna in 1896. She lived to 88 years old. The furthest south she ever went was one trip to Los Angeles. She made one trip to the East Coast when her son, my uncle, got out of the military, and Crescent City to the north. And the last 65 years of her life, she lived in the same home in Fortuna. So it was a totally different perspective on just what living and what community meant.
Community, obviously, meant a whole lot more than what it does now, just because of that lack of mobility.
Yeah.
Lack of taking the opportunity to be mobile. Yeah.
And I think relationships obviously develop much differently when you have a community of that nature where, gosh, you see each other every day.
Yeah. Well, and that's probably that whole neighborhood sense is probably why the spiritual community, the religious community, was so much more entranced than it is today also.
I think so. And a lot of the folks who did settle in the Fortuna area, many of them came from New Brunswick and that part of the East Coast. I remember it was my great-grandmother, I think. She came over in a covered wagon and had quite an experience. I'll fill you in on a detail of that when we come back.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with John Sapper. John, before the break, you were talking about your great-grandma coming out.
Yeah, coming out here on a covered wagon and actually settled in Ferndale back in the 1860s. And as I remind, and I have a number of friends who still live in Ferndale, but I remind them that it only took my family about 5 to 6 years to decide to move across the river to Fortuna. So I don't know if they see the humor in that, but it's all in good jest.
So do you think you're accepted as a local yet?
In Ferndale? No, and I'm reminded every time I go over. They do welcome me. They say, hey, come on over. We appreciate you coming. Spend your money and then go back home.
Yeah. Oh, I suppose that's yeah, we were talking during the break about the lack of historical, I guess, for our area. You know, 125 years ago, we're probably sitting in the middle of a tree or some goofy thing like that. I mean, there was nothing, literally, there was 125, I guess there was something in some parts of the county, but not an awful lot. But talk about the end of the road. There really was nothing there unless you came in by boat.
Yeah, well, even in Fortuna back in the 50s and 60s, the population was a little over 3,000. And, you know, about a third of what it is today. And, in fact, I was talking to someone here just a few weeks ago, and they were saying, well, Fortuna's changed a little bit over the years, but not tremendously. And so we had an interesting conversation on that, and another subject came up of the attorneys in town. And I reminded them, I said, well, I can tell you one little change. I said, my father, who was an attorney who practiced in Hollywood in the 30s, heydays, and there's some fun stories there, moved up in 1951, and he liked to fish. And it was one of the main reasons that he relocated to Fortuna. And after spending about a year there, ran into Collis Mann, a gentleman who was an attorney in town, and said, Herb, said, why don't you open up a practice here in Fortuna? I think there's room for you. I'm the only attorney in town, and my office hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10 to 2. So Dad says, well, you think there's room? And he says, yeah. So that's how he actually started his practice in town.
That's kind of like the ideal work week for many. 10 to 2, 2 days a week?
2 days a week, yeah. Well, you can go there with our attorneys.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll make the suggestion, see how far that one goes. For somebody going through Fortuna now, John, whether a local or somebody who's just passing through, if you could point to the one thing that you go, you know, this is the coolest change, this is the neatest thing, item, whatever it is, that's happened in the last 50 years to Fortuna, where would you point them towards?
Yeah. I don't know if it would be one thing. I think one of the coolest premises about Fortuna right now is that the community really has retained its sense of community. It has a lot of activities, whether we're talking about the Rodeo Week, which is in its maybe 90th year, the Auto Expo, the Apple Harvest Festival, the on and on and on and on, the activities. So that is fairly unique. There are other communities that have activities, but for a community the size of Fortuna to have that many, it is unique. And I think that, so if you were to say what's the one thing, I think it is retaining that sense of community. At the same time, where the community really is in the position of needing to reinvent itself from an economic perspective. So it is going through transitions.
Yeah, having that big empty lot there in the middle of town kind of makes it rough.
Well, there are numerous opportunities there, I think, for business development in Fortuna. And I think that is one of the significant transitions that the community really needs to double down and do all it can to do that reinvention.
Yeah, you know, if you close your eyes and that's full, whether it's with residential or industrial or light industrial or commercial, whatever it is, but it's active, all of a sudden, you know, metropolis, booming and economic vibrant, all those words start popping into your mind really quickly.
Yeah. Well, in fact, try to think of any community across this country that is healthy and vibrant and active. That community has a solid economic foundation underneath it. And, you know, for the last five generations, we didn't have to think about that in Fortuna. The economic foundation.
The county.
Yeah. Absolutely. But certainly, I would argue that the Eel River Valley and South was probably affected to a greater degree with the downturn of the timber industry than other areas of the county.
Oh, look at like
county.
Red Crest. I mean, I still look at that, the old mill site there.
Yeah.
You know, if I was relocating something, it was a manufacturing or light manufacturing, it's sitting there. Boom, boom, Eel River the same way with the old mill site there.
Yeah. But folks didn't have to, back then, they didn't have to think about what are we going to look like economically down the road? Now we do.
It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's. St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540227, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Yeah. Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with John Sapper and kind of going down memory lane a little bit in Fortuna. John, the hotel that burned down earlier this year, do you recall it being a hotel? Was it a fun? I mean, you look at it, and as soon as it burned down, I kind of closed my eyes and went, okay, I can almost see like stagecoaches pulling up. I can almost see that. Change the sidewalks, change the paint, do a little. Yeah. Okay, I got it. Did you ever see it as a functional hotel?
There are days that I feel that old, but I've never. No, that moved out. I think several decades before I was born.
That's the stuff that, to me, would be way cool, is to bring back the historical usage of a bunch of the older facilities, if it's reasonable and cost effective, of course.
Absolutely. In fact, I was having a conversation with Regan Candelario, the city manager, the other day, and yes, the Star Hotel and that whole block area was certainly a terrible tragedy, and there are efforts that are in motion, sometimes getting through the regulatory process to get the stuff cleaned up, get you growing a few gray hairs. But there are conversations going on as to where is that going to go. And I mentioned to Regan, I said that whole entrance to the north of Fortuna, which was the old bowling alley that now is going to be
Bob Crane's.
C. Crane, yeah. Doing a very nice job in rehabbing that area. There was an old hotel or a hotel that was kind of a tough place next to the Chevron station coming into town that
right,
is being
cleaned up
yep. and taken care of. And so I suggested, I said, you know, with Bob Crane moving from the old Daly's building downtown to his new facility and the old Lowe's building, which is now housing Green's Pharmacy till new construction occurs, that will then be vacant. Maybe try to make some lemonade out of this lemon of this fire. And what about looking at the whole Main Street part of the general plan, and as you're looking at that major construction that's going to occur, what would you like to see that whole northern entrance, including Main Street, look like? That maybe could get into some themed conversation instead of piecemealing this thing.
Even to have that whole area as a single presentation style is really kind of weird, because the four-way stop they're coming into town, that's the demarcation. You know, from that point to the street light, it's one thing. From the four-way out of town is a whole different – everything is different.
Yeah.
It just would be interesting.
And I think there is the opportunity to think about those things now. As I mentioned earlier, you know, Main Street, that was the highway. You know, and what develops along a major thoroughfare or a highway – 100 years ago would be much different than what you look at in Main Streets today. And there are numerous communities across the country that have really reinvented themselves in that. And yes, the fire was a tragedy, but with the work that's going to go on, I suggested maybe taking the opportunity to look at that from the whole Main Street piece of the general plan. So there can be some continuity.
Yeah, I mean the bulb outs and some of the stuff that has been added lately is nice, mm-hmm. but it almost, well, like you said, it kind of chops things up a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the park, Rona Park. Mm-hmm. Has it always been that way? Were the grandstands always there for the rodeo grounds, and you know, did the circus always come to town and set up there?
Circus always came to town. The grandstands were always there. The skating rink was always there. The parks and recreation summer activities were always there. In fact, that was my first full-time job when I was 14, was I helped to assist with the recreation department in town, and that's now that does feel like 100 years ago. But that park and the Newburgh Park area, and that's one of the other areas I think that really Fortuna does stand out. They're beautiful park facilities, and they're maintained by different organizations in the community. And it is there are very nice venues for that.
I like the meridians. You know, as you go down, you make the turn onto Fortuna Boulevard. I know they're put in for calming. Okay, I get it. But I think it works. I think it helps, you know, particularly when you're missing sidewalks on either side. Having the nice grass in the center kind of draws your attention in that direction.
Years ago on Main Street, there was a lot of that greenery, and there were trees and
really?
Things.
Yeah. On the sidewalks or in the middle?
On the sidewalks.
Okay. Uh-huh. What, they just outgrow and cause problems with the sidewalks being bumped up because of the roots? Or?
Well, I don't know what the reason was, but they disappeared years ago. And now here we have communities like Willow Creek that have done a very nice job in putting those green belts, if you will, and meridians back in. And Riodale.
Riodale's kind of snapped it up a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Was Eureka always the rival for Fortuna in high school?
Well, but at that time, Eureka was so much larger than Fortuna that there are some who felt that it might not be a competitive advantage, so they really were upset when Fortuna beat them. But anyway, we won't go.
Yeah, there's information shared when the word is spoken, and there's more information shared when the words aren't spoken. I think you shared a lot of information there. KINS, News and Information Time is 3:41.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back talking shop this afternoon with community commenter John Sapper. you really screw up your life once you step into this facility.
Yeah, since 3 years ago, I thought it was 1 week.
Yeah, see what happens? Yeah.
You said, I'll see you in 2 weeks. And I said, for what?
You start in one, it becomes two, and then we don't add anymore. It becomes a pattern. If there was one thing, John, that you could do to grab out of the past, whether it's Fortuna or Humboldt County, it wouldn't matter, and apply it to today, what would it be?
One thing if I could grab out of the past, the innocence of having a small town community atmosphere and feeling where we weren't challenged with so many of the challenges that we face here that are similar to what larger urban areas face. I think without a doubt, that's what I would hope for.
Can it happen?
I believe that it can. I've always been someone who believes the glass is 3/4 full. But I think it will take vigilance. I think it will take a need for the community from all segments to come together and say these major significant challenges that we face here, enough is enough, and we need to come together to work together to address these issues. I think it's possible if we get to that tipping point, and we may be close in some areas.
It's intriguing for me because I would suggest that Fortuna is the only one that could. Out of all the cities in the area, I think Fortuna is the only one that would have a shot. Maybe Ferndale, but it's not as homogenous as what Fortuna is. You know, I mean, any other community you try that, you're going to be ripping your – everybody's going to be pulling at each other and pointing fingers and all that kind of stuff. I think Fortuna might be able to.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to be able to do something like that and kind of take back what we had.
Yeah, and I think many of the efforts that are going on in our community now to address some of the challenges we have, they're great efforts. But I would really challenge people to, instead of exclusively focusing on addressing the symptoms of issues, try to address the root causes in that. One quick example. I think it's a tremendous program and needed here, backpacks for kids. We have a lot of young folks who unfortunately really don't have enough food during the weekend. So a lot of community groups and that have come together to provide backpacks for kids. And I was talking to someone the other day. They said, isn't it tremendous that we've been able to increase our organization, increase the number of backpacks we provide by 100 so we can meet the needs of these children? And I said, yes, it's important that we address that need. But I'll be slapping you on the back and congratulating when you eliminate the need for backpacks. That's the kind of work that we need to do, is to address root cause of issues instead of being satisfied with addressing the symptoms that, yes, we need to do, but we need to go deeper.
And his reaction?
Well, it was a bit of an E.F. Hutton commercial to begin with, but then he said, You're right. And I'm not suggesting or advocating at all that we don't do backpack programs. Quite the contrary. But we need to address the cause that creates the need for the backpack program in the first place.
Yeah, eliminate the need.
Eliminate the need for it. That's where we need to put our attention.
So you got E.F. Hutton in and a V8 moment all in the same moment. That's truly
amazing.
Television amazing. Now, if you've been smoking a Winston at the time, now we're talking.
Never touched it.
Yeah. Look at the gold record on your way out. It'll connect for you.
All right.
If folks want to get involved, how? How should just regular guy or gal, how do they get involved?
Well, I think one is the first question that I think each of us has to address is, what's our passion? What's our interest? What do we really believe needs to be changed or addressed in our community? Then there's a lot of publicity that's going on with conversations and different groups that are addressing these. Connect with one of them. And it really isn't going to be solved by one person or one group doing something. We all have to work together on these issues.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
You bet. Thanks for inviting.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with John Sapper. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.